comics.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. The letter was sent to the subcommittee members, Chair, just before the meeting. Thank you.
Okay, so that's quite means not all committee members would have received it. May I, for purposes of transparency and record again, just for you, if you can share the letter.
Chairperson, I'll put it on the WhatsApp group now, Chair. Thank you.
No, no. All I was saying was that if you can share it, that helps, that we have not hidden anything, would have put it up. And it, as I said, it just helps us to be transparent because the matters that are raised in the letter, including candidates, shouldn't be like, we never looked at it. So that would have been the letter, as I said, received today, which talks to, as you see, consideration of public opinion on SABC board recommendations. So that's the letter we would have sent to yourselves. As you can see in the main, it talks about criteria. It also talks to some areas that they believe was the only emphasis, except for what party that talked to expertise. But it also talks to the same issues that they would have raised during the public participation process, where there would have been comments about candidates. In this case, it will be matters in relation to candidate Moba and candidate Baji. So that's the letter we've received, as I said. Some members would be able to look at that, but more importantly, because it is the subcommittee report, subcommittee members received that at least at the time of receipt from yourselves. Thank you, Kenasha. But of course, as I said, we will be looking at the report of the subcommittee. And that report would also talk to the journey. And that's why I won't get to a point of us discussing the letter, because regard to the candidates raised and the legal that is referred to there, the committee had an opportunity of listening to that, considered those views raised, and came to the deliberations we've had today, and hence the report that will be before the committee. And it is for the committee then to consider. And that's Honorable Kola Barnard, on what point?
Thank you, Chair. I just wondered if you perhaps shouldn't ask the rest of that letter be shown on the screen, because it's a public document. We only looked through the first sort of.
Unless it's on your side, Honorable Kola Barnard, is your network fine? Because I see it on red and like frozen. So just address that part.
I was reading it. I didn't.
I've spoken to the letter, and I'd also ensure that it's flighted. It's unless there's a part that you didn't see, but it is the same letter that you have received, which is directed to yourselves as members as you apply your mind to the report.
I absolutely agree, Chair. I thought that you were showing the letter so that the public could see it. That's why I was suggesting that we scroll all the way down. That I have the letter, obviously, yes.
Yes, as I say, Honourable Kola Barnett, I have, as I say, unless it's on the other side, I have asked that the letter be flighted, and I briefly spoke to it in terms of content. But like I say, it's for public anyway. Would have to do that, irrespective that it was directed to yourselves. Honourable members, I would really want us to move forward now and get the administration or committee support to flight the report from the subcommittee, which report will then at the end be the report of the committee. So you'd see some of the portions speaking to what gets to go to Parliament in one report. We'll then ask the committee support to read through the report, and we correct as we go.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good evening, Chairperson and members. The report reads as follows. Report of the Portfolio Committee on Communications and Digital Technologies on the filling of 12 board vacancies for the South African Broadcasting Corporation, SABC, dated 24th November 2022. The South African Broadcasting Corporation is governed by the Broadcasting Act of 1999, Section 13(1) states that 12 non-executive members of the board must be appointed by the president on the advice of the National Assembly, with the term of the previous SABC board that expired on 15 October 2022. The Portfolio Committee on Communications and Digital Technologies was tasked with ensuring that a new board was nominated and appointed before the end of the term of the current board. A letter dated 13 June was received from the Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies, one, informing the National Assembly about the impending expiry term of office of the current South African Broadcasting Corporation Board of Directors on 15 October 2022, and two, requesting the National Assembly to initiate the recruitment process in terms of Section 13 of the Broadcasting Act 1999, Act Number 4 of 1999, to constitute the SABC board. The referral to the committee was published on the announcements, tablings, and committee reports, which is the ATC, on 30th June 2022 during constituency period. The chairperson, on behalf of the committee, in line with Rule 158 of the NA rules, considered the letter from the Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies and resolved that the Secretariat proceed with the process of publishing an advertisement in the media calling for the nomination of persons to be appointed to constitute the SABC board. The committee advertised for the board nominations, and the advert was closed on 6 August 2022. The advertisement was published in all 11 South African official languages in one national newspaper, two regional newspapers, and eight community newspapers. A total of 120 nominations were received, including names that appeared more than once due to individuals being nominated more than once by different people and or organizations. The committee further established a 7-member subcommittee made by 4 African National Congress, 4 one member from the Democratic Alliance, 1 member from the Economic Freedom Fighters, and 1 member from the Inkatha Freedom Party to oversee the process of constituting the SABC board and report back to it. On 8 September 2022, the subcommittee met to consider the criteria, skills and experience required to constitute the SABC board, and unanimously recommended that the committee approves the following shortlisted candidates. Ms. Mamutupi Mohlala Mulaudzi, Mr. David Maimea, Mr. Jack Palane, Dr. Renee Horn, Professor Sathaseven Cooper, Mr. Dikwanyane Mwuba, Ms. Nomvuyiso Baki, Ms. Sandika Daya, Ms. Cynthia Stimbel, Advocate Teliso Tipanyane, Mr. Quentin Green, Mr. Mpote Du, Mr. Shedrick Bukaba, Professor Franz Kruger, Mr. Zolile Zamisa, Mr. Langazita, Ms. Noma Zulumda, Ms. Riarabetswe Motaung, Mr. Katuchelo Ramukumba, Mr. Tembisa Fakude, Ms. Ntswareng Babela, Ms. Patiswa Makopeni, Ms. Nwabisa Makyumza, Mr. Lance Ronschild, Mr. Kingdom Mushwenyane, Mr. Paris Mashile, Dr. Oscar Van Yerden, Ms. Aifeli Makwanya, Mr. Lumko Mtimde, Ms. Palisa Gadi, Mr. Zolani Matthews, Ms. Tandeka Tsebulembeki, Ms. Fundiswa Speya Kushu, Ms. Magdalene Monsami, Ms. Yvonne Yolelwa Skunyana, Ms. Lindwe Jacqueline Mayeba, and Ms. Mandisa Dit. The shortlisted candidate interviews were conducted from 13 to 16 September 2022. Qualification verification, state security clearance, and public participation were part of the appointment process. The subcommittee allocated these processes to be conducted from 8 to 22 September 2022, parallel to the interview process. The subcommittee deliberated on the interviewed candidates on 27 September 2022, focusing on consideration of public comments and responses to legal advice from Parliament's legal services, and resolved that the recommendation for the 12 names could not be finalized until the security vetting process was completed. The qualification and public comments were concluded within 2 weeks from 8 September 2022, with the security vetting completed on 21 November 2022. During the subsequent interview process, the following nominees withdrew from the selection process: Ms. Noma Zulumda, Ms. Sandika Daya, and Ms. Nwabisa Makyumza, which will withdraw during the interview process, and Ms. Cynthia Stimpel will withdraw during the vetting process. On 24 November 2022, the subcommittee met to finalize the deliberations of candidates to be recommended after the security vetting was completed, and agreed to recommend to the committee that the 12 vacancies be filled with the following candidates: Dr. Renee Horn, Advocate Teliso Tipanyane, Mr. Katuchelo Ramukumba, Professor Franz Kruger, Ms. Nomvuyiso Baki, Ms. Patiswa Makopeni, Ms. Aifeli Makwanya, Ms. Magdalene Munsami, Ms. Riarabetswe Motaung, Mr. David Maimela, Mr. Dingwanyane Mwuba, and Mr. Mpote Du. Excuse me. The subcommittee made a decision to select three additional names, which will serve as a reserve pool to cater for any eventuality, given the period it has taken to complete the process. The following names on the pool are confirmed as Mr. Zolani Matthews, Ms. Palisa Gadi, and Mr. Quentin Green. On 24 November, the Portfolio Committee on Communications and Digital Technologies met to consider the recommendation.
Sorry. Let's stop there just to complete the part about the subcommittee. Just to check first with the subcommittee members as the report would have been drafted between the two meetings, whether it captures the essence of the recommendation that they would want to make to the committee. Subcommittee members, may I get a sense that this captures your report to this committee?
Yeah, Chair, I think from where I'm sitting, this is a true reflection of the report, Chair. Thanks.
Honorable Kola Barnett.
Thank you, Chair. It does indeed. There was simply the one word as Portia was reading out. She stopped and realized it was in there incorrectly. It's just an editing out of that. So I think otherwise it reflects very well on exactly what process we have been through. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kolapanat. I'm sure that would be corrected. I think it was process put just after word. I saw that.
Indeed. I couldn't see the page number, but that's what it was, yes.
Yes, so I would correct that, but this agreement from the subcommittee, that's the case. I know from administration point of view, the preparation is on the basis of what will ensue in the committee based on the number of people in the subcommittee, as it's been the norm. But we must first put the report to the committee. It's the report of the subcommittee. So let's put it to the committee so that there is a committee report once that is done. So I'll check in particular those members of the committee who do not sit in the subcommittee, whether they have comments to make and so on. I'll look at those if they are on the platform and would want to make their comments, recommendations, alterations, or anything in that regard, so that at the end we have portfolio committee report. If I do not see the hand, you will also help me committee support. So we need to get members of the committee who are not in the subcommittee. The subcommittee has presented a report to yourselves.
Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable Kumbu.
Yeah, Chairperson, I don't think I have an issue to raise here. No, otherwise I'm fine, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kumbu. So you're just one of those members. So very few, one of those. May I check if there's any objection then in the committee adopting this report? Honorable Kolapanat, I see your hand.
Yes, I don't have the slightest problem with adopting the report, but I did think we should go through the letter from SOS that arrived a short while ago. They're expressing concern and great reservations about two candidates. Should that not be something that we consider, or do you think that's now too late in the process? I'm looking for guidance here.
Any other member would want to make a comment with regard to the letter? Honorable Polani.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Chairperson, we welcome the report. I think it would not do justice for us to handle the letter the way we have, if that is as far as we are going to engage with the letter. So just to support the request by Honorable Kolapanat to say, can we entertain the letter and then come back to entertain the report for the sake of fairness and thoroughness? Thank you, Chairperson.
Any other member would want to comment?
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Mlala.
Yeah, Chair, I think I don't necessarily have a problem with entertaining the letter. My concern is that the matter is supposed to be completed today. Now, the letter comes in before the committee could even adopt the names. And the letter is actually anticipating that these names are final names. And it's possible that when we are in the committee today, somebody can raise a concern about certain names, and then what happens then to the letter. So for me, the letter, we should proceed to adopt, and then we can entertain the letter now on the basis that the committee has now agreed to the names. But if we entertain the letter, when we don't even, we have not yet adopted the names, for me, it's worrisome, because then it might mean that if we have different views about the letter, ultimately, we may delay the process. So my view is, let's adopt so that when we entertain the letter, it's on the basis of us adopting the names as a committee, so that we are able then to deal with the aspects that you were raising, that they were given an opportunity to raise, they were part of the processes, it was a public, everybody was involved. But for purposes of transparency, I would say beyond our adoption, we can then consider the letter, Chair. That's my view. I'm not saying we must entertain it, I'm just saying we can then engage on whether we want to engage on the letter now that we have adopted the report. Thanks.
Honorable Dr. Basso.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and honorable members on the platform. Perhaps coming closer to Honorable Mulala, if my memory serves me well, Chair, this is not the first time to get objections in this process. And at some point, we did get a legal opinion on the matter. And as such, in agreeing with Honorable Mulala, when we get there, perhaps we need to be reminded, because I don't want to believe that the approach that we adopted when we're busy with the names should change us now. But as I'm saying, I do agree with him. But when we get there is an opinion that was sought from the legal section of ours, and we should adopt the same approach that we adopted. Thank you very much, Chair.
The Honorable Tembu. Muted, Honorable Mtembu, proceed. Unmute, Honorable Mtembu, and proceed. Oh, I will then assume that the hand may have been raised mistakenly on the gadget.
Good evening, Honorable Chair. I'm very sorry. I don't know what is happening on my gadget. Actually, I'm trying to support what Chair Honorable Mulala have said. As I also don't have a problem with the letter, but I wanted to say, let us finish with the names, then we deal with the letter thereafter. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mtembu, if you can mute now. Honorable Kola Barnett, I thought you made your point.
I did. I was going to ask you a question, Chair. Did we not get some legal opinion on the possible conflict of interest of Ms. Bataille? I thought the opinion was that there was no conflict. Or am I remembering it incorrectly?
No, thank you, Honorable Kola Barnett. I'm happy that at least a number of you would have spoken to this point. Honorable members, I think it's important to help the meeting. The report properly captures the journey that we have been through up until now. And in that journey, there are dates given as to when the matter was also opened for public comments. And as other members would have said, you've gone through the letter. The only thing was to make it on record public that there are still matters raised on those candidates, similar matters that were raised. And correctly so, in that period, we have received the opinion, and I agree with you, Honorable Kola Barnett, that opinion clarified what conflict of interest is. And we're convinced that that was correct. So it shouldn't be that we are starting a new public participation process. However, you would not stop members of the public from making comments as information gets to be available. What we should be able to say is whether we have applied our minds in considering everything that came before the committee. That's exactly what happened on the 27th. We never dealt with names. We looked at everything else raised, including the responses legally so, and agreed then that at the time of dealing with the names, you'll take everything into account. And I must say that these were not the only candidates where matters would have been raised. There were others where there were matters raised. And we got that response. And for sure, as you presented this morning, we've taken all that into account. I'm raising this so that we do not have an open-ended process. We'll never be able to complete the work that has been set for ourselves. In any way, we make recommendations, and these recommendations will go to the House. We are not the appointing authority. The appointing authority will also surely consider everything else as part of the journey in making such decisions. But what was important was that we should not hide the fact that post that process, there have been comments received and there was a formal request that that must be circulated to members. And we have not hidden that. I want us to move forward in that score that we would have agreed to that opinion that we were given. And we are now talking at a time when everything else has been done, including vetting and qualification verification, at least as it is expected of our minimum standards. And surely members of the public will continue to raise this and that about each and everyone that they would think something needs to be raised. And I want to say that because we're not appointing, we're making recommendations, we have considered the public participation process. We opened up, we received, we even asked for legal guidance in that regard. For me, that's consideration. So we have looked at matters that came before the committee. Otherwise, as I say, we may have an open-ended process. Honorable Gumbu, who was not in the committee, in the subcommittee, accepted the report of the committee. And I want to check again if there's any objection in us adopting this report, which has got the names, of course, informed by the journey traveled, honorable members. an objection and has adopted the report. Are you objecting, Honorable Kola Barnard?
I just have one last question. With Mr. Mahuba, who's involved in a court case, which is now on appeal, what is the situation if he loses his appeal in terms of being a board member? Does one then have to go back and review his appointment? I'm not sure what the process is, but it's a very disquieting situation with him in that he was found guilty, but now it's on appeal. What is the situation if that appeal fails?
I'll just check if there are other members who would want to comment. Of course, I'm not a legal person, but I want us to really move. Honorable Mlala.
Chair, I think I thought we are moving towards closure because we have agreed that for now the letter is preemptive in terms of the process. Let us conclude our process first, and then we can then engage in any other comment. Because for me, Chair, if the matter has been resolved and the party is still insisting, it is our duty as well to ensure that in providing a report to the National Assembly and the President ultimately for appointment, we need to indicate all these reports that yes, even after we open, there was this complaint, and this is how we have dealt with it going into this. Otherwise, the report may be returned, but why didn't you look at this report? Maybe we can discuss that after we have adopted our work and finalized what we're supposed to do. So, Chair, I'm still insisting that let's finalize the work of the committee, and then we can then allow comments. For me, it's fair. Even if they complain 10 times, it doesn't really matter for me. What matters is we should be able to explain to them again that we have responded on 1, 2, 3, and if they're still not happy, they can still appeal to the other authority beyond us. So for now, I don't think it's fair that we start discussing these people that were complaining about Mrs. Paki, Mr. Mahuba. Then we are going scantaflink. I think let's finish one process. And then if I'm not saying Honorable Kola Barnard has got no right to raise what she's raising, she can raise that. But after we have finished our part. Unlike we said, we are not entertaining this issue now, but we are indirectly entertaining it because we are responding. She has asked about Ms. Baki, we respond. Now she's asked. So we're actually entertaining the letter indirectly. So I'm saying, let's finish our process and then we can deal with any other matter beyond the finalization so that we know we can also guide the process that beyond here, this is what we think must happen into the National Assembly. Thanks, Chair.
If there's no other hand, I still want to ask, there is Honorable Kumbu who had indicated that the report is fine. If there's no objection now, I would move on the basis that the report has been agreed to by the committee. Honorable Klaigo.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good evening, Chair. I think Chairperson, Honorable, the previous speaker has put it right to say in our process plan, we did not have what we are entertaining now. I think let's proceed with our business without rejecting whatever that comes from the public or from any stakeholder. But as of now, let's continue. It may be after everything that we've done with regards to recommendations to Parliament that we can, or at another level, the concern be entertained. Thank you very much. I support the fact that let's continue with our business. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Klego. I take you to be agreeing with Honorable Kumbu, as you are not in the subcommittee. So the report is adopted by the committee. And in that score, we can get to the paragraph that talks to the committee for purpose of record. For sure. Portia, if you can read there on the 24th. We lost Portia.
Chairperson, I'll step in. Portia, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry about that, Chair. On 24th November 2022, the Portfolio Committee on Communications and Digital Technologies met to consider the recommendation of the subcommittee. The committee recommends that the National Assembly approves the name of Dr. Renee Horn, Advocate Seliso Tipanyane, Mr. Katutelo Ramukumba, Professor Franz Kruger, Ms. Nomvuyiso Baki, Ms. Patiswa Makopeni, Ms. Aifeli Makwanya, Ms. Magdalene Munsami, Ms. Riarabetswe Mutaung, Mr. David Maimela, Mr. Tigwanyane Muuba, and Mr. Mpotsedwa. The Portfolio Committee made a decision to select three additional names which will serve as a reserve pool to cater for any eventuality given the period it has taken to complete the process. The following names are confirmed as Mr. Zolani Matthews, Ms. Palisa Gadi, and Mr. Quentin Green. Report to be considered. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms. Ndabeni. That said, the report will be able to take forward as adopted by the committee. Of course, we can then get back to what members said we need to clarify. I want to check if there's anybody who still wants to speak to the letter on how we handle the letter as it is written to committee members. So I'll take hands in that regard, and thereafter we make a ruling, honorable members. If your hand is up and I can't identify you because it's not on the gadget, please indicate as such. So I'll start with Honorable Kolabana, followed by Honorable Bodlani.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. Apologies, it's so dark. I'm sitting here in the pitch dark in Parliament. There's no electricity. I just wanted some input on the question I asked earlier. I accept the report is adopted, but I'm looking for advice. As came out in the interviews, etc., Mr. Muuba was found guilty, but his matter now is on appeal. So I think he was dismissed from the University of Limpopo, but he says the matter is on appeal. Now, what will be the advice of this committee should that appeal fail? Do we then revisit and go to the shortlist? What is the status of the committee once the board is appointed? That's, I think, the basis of the question.
Well,
thank you so much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think just a word of gratitude to the members in the subcommittee for assisting us in this big mammoth task and for bringing the names to the committee. And I think we appreciate the process. But Chairperson, just so that we all have an understanding, because I can't remember which member, I beg your pardon, who was saying why now. I think the list was made public because it is my understanding that the deliberations of the subcommittee were in the public domain. So the SOS is writing in that sense. And I think, Chairperson, we have said it over and over in this meeting, the importance of allowing civil society to partner with us in the sense of doing oversight. So I think we should thoroughly go through the letter. But if you yourself and Honorable Kola Barnard are comfortable that there was a legal opinion on the female member who is being shortlisted, then it is fine. Perhaps we don't have to entertain that further. But if the second applicant, the gentleman, Mr. Mahuba, there is a question around his status and the court case and whatnot, perhaps that's the part of the letter that we should entertain, Chairperson, so that we do not give the impression that we, as this committee, we do not care what civil society thinks. We do not care on the views that the public raises, because as the letter correctly says, this is a matter of public interest, and the term is rather long for us to bring in people who will then bring disrepute to the board. So I think let us do ourselves justice and be thorough and entertain the letter in that regard, Chairperson, and I thank you.
I check other members who would want to speak on the letter as you asked that it be discussed later.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Bambo.
Chairperson, I think if we are to be consistent, and I think both to Ms. Kola Barnard and the previous speaker, one would remember that this question did arise in the interview with Mr. Mahuba. And this question was raised firstly by Ms. Kola Barnard around this court case and the appeal. And it is general that these are the questions that we would have put to Mr. Mahuba. And the committee, as it stands here today, has recommended Mr. Mahuba with the knowledge of his court case. So it looks like now what we are doing, we are re-interviewing Mr. Mahuba. And I think that even the question that Ms. Kola Barnard is asking is not something that is even a question of, it's not even a legal question. I think it's common knowledge, especially to us as members of parliament, whereas in this case, that we know that you the first instance is that you are, innocent until proven guilty. And in this instance, there is an appeal, and which that appeal has been granted to Mr. Mahuba. This appeal by the judge, if you read that court sort of judge, the judgment on the appeal, really says that there are prospects of success, of overturning what was obviously, given as a judgment in the quota quo. So I think that to ask those questions is rather unfair to the candidate. And also it is essentially taking us back. These questions that are raised in that letter are questions that were entertained by this committee. We are revisiting them. So we can't always, on the guise or the disguise of public opinion, we've had these issues. They've been raised not only by the public, but also by Ms. Kola Barnard in the interviews that we've had. So with that said, Chair, I think that these questions are rather mute because we've entertained them. And even after we've entertained them, this is the outcome that we have. I do not have any sort of snag about discussing the letter. Also, I want to take into consideration that the letter also goes on to talk about gender parity, in which I found very bizarre that it really thinks that we just only considered, agenda. We did discuss this, and the colleagues did raise this. So if the letter, as it appears to me, is that it will raise that the Democratic Alliance is the only one that raised expertise and other factors, it's not true. because the EFF is the one who raised the principle of gender parity, doesn't mean that any other political party wouldn't have raised it. So it doesn't mention that the EFF rightfully raises gender parity, but it says the good thing about the DA, it is the only political party that raised expertise. It's not true. Half of the committee committee members here spoke about expertise throughout. They even said that, I mean, I remember Mr. Molala here said that Mr. Etsedu, even though he was not nominated by the ANC, will come up on the basis of expertise and on the basis of how well he interviewed. So it's disingenuous. If anything, it's rather suspect, and it gives the DA the moral high ground, as if the DA was the only political party in this committee that took the time to go through the expertise. It's not true. And so this letter, for me, at least as it appears, is very suspicious. And it seems to be something that has been cooked to derail this process, but also to target precisely these people that it mentions so that it can put in different people. And I think this is something that we should not get into as a basis of what must derail us, or rather, we must not be defocused by it. It should be entertaining. And the response, the reason why we're entertaining it is we're responding to it because we're responding to it even though we have responded to it before it even came. So there is no merit to this letter. And I think that it's politically motivated. And I think it must be said to be what it is. It appears to be politically motivated. And we're not blind to that. Because if this letter was genuine, it would highlight all the other good things that all the other political parties have raised. It only highlights one issue, which is that of the DA. So I think it's rather suspect. And I think it must be treated with that suspicion. But we have allowed public opinion, like Ms. Kola Barnard has raised it, that we even went as far as going and asking the legal to at least assist us on the question of Ms. Barty. We've gone through that. And of all the committees, we are one committee that even stops its program so that we can get public opinion. You have seen with the postman, we have not agreed with the public opinion, some of the public opinions that have been raised. We have challenged them. We have engaged those who have taken the time to write, and we appreciate them writing this. But this particular letter, from where we are sitting, is rather suspect. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mlala Beck. I will take
it. Yeah, Chair.
Okay, you can proceed. Honorable Dr. Bakwok will be last.
No, Chair, I think I'm partly covered by the economic fighters on the aspect that this matters. The reason why I was saying it's not like we are starting to entertain them, but all this response that we're giving, it's important that we must give them so that tomorrow is not that we starting the process afresh. We must give that those responses on record, that indeed is true. The issue of Mr. Muhuba was raised in our initial processes, and it was dealt with like any other matter, because they raised about 6 to 7 names. So all of them, we even gave them the opportunity to respond beyond the legal opinion that we got. We gave them an opportunity to respond. And I remember the last words of the legal opinion was that, yes, this matters because they are not yet finalized. We can't prejudice a person. The same question that Honorable Kola Barnard is asking, what happens if this happens, if the appeal is not upheld? Somebody can ask the same issue. What happens if the appeal is not upheld? So it's a two-way process. You can ask this question on the side to say, what happened if the appeal still find him guilty, or the appeal does not find him guilty? So it's two sides of the same coin. My view is these issues, Chairperson, as you have presented earlier on, have been entertained. The reason we are entertaining them now is because we don't want to be seen to be ignoring the letter. But now that we have gone through the content of the letter, all of us, we've seen the letter, we think these matters are not new, and therefore we agree that the same principle that applied to other people whose names were been raised will apply to these two, Mrs. Bagi and Mr. Mohuba. And maybe on the last note, I think unconsciously we left three names at the bottom as reserves. Maybe to cover the concern of my colleagues, if anything happens beyond this process, we would have dealt with that part, because already there are three specific names that we said is on reserve, so that we don't come back and start the process afresh, because already, unless if these three are no longer interested in the eventual situation where things change. But from where we're sitting, things have not changed. We sought the legal opinion, everything is in order. Let's proceed. I think for the purpose of this letter, we must write back to them and indicate that we have considered their second letter, despite the fact that they have written the initial one, but the response still remains the same as the first one. Just due diligence. For me, it's a matter of due diligence, because if we just sit and said, no, we've dealt with this matter, ignore these people, tomorrow somebody may ask, but if the second letter was read, why didn't you give them the same response anyway? Because it's the same response. So I think we should give them the same response and proceed. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Dr. Basop, you are last.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I'm proposing that a progress on this matter, because we have exhausted, as requested, the discussion of the letter. That was the request, that let's discuss the letter. I'm of the view that we have done that and we have exhausted ourselves in discussing the letter. Number two, as a committee already, all of us, no one is disputing the fact that we are not appointing. We are just mere recommending to the higher authority that are going to appoint. Number three, and the last point, Chair. If I do understand exactly the concern that is raised by the honorable member, she's just asking what will be the situation or the process if ever, at the end of the day, the candidate is losing the appeal, whether it will come back to us as a committee or somewhere or at the level of appointment, that process won't come back to us again. I think if we can just clarify that and then we proceed, because in my view, we all agree that there is not, we are not appointing, we are just recommending. If you can assist on that, Chair, I'm proposing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable members. Let me start by with your inputs confirm that the matter was dealt with. Maybe let's just respond again formally to do so, just to clarify how the matter would have been handled before. Like I said, I would not venture on the legal side of things, and that's why we get legal to advise. If there would be further questions, they can still be entertained beyond this point It is my understanding that the question relates to when the appointment has already been done and the person is in the board. And my take would be that that's a matter that will be entertained at that point, in line with what are the expectations of members of the board, but as well as what the law would indicate as disqualifications for a person to be sitting in such a board, and those would apply as a first point. And if it gets to a point where that board member leaves office because of such a disqualification, the understanding will be that if that board member was serving, it creates a vacancy. And it is that vacancy that you deal with, like other vacancies get dealt with. So, as I say, if you have further questions on that, it's a matter that legal can then put it in writing on how you deal with vacancies. But we have dealt with them before, is that you declare the vacancy and be able to fill that as such. But again, a response has been given. At this point, we would not use the ifs. We can only rely on what we have processed, questions asked, clarities given, the screening that has been done, and that has not pointed us to a different direction. So with that, honorable members, it would not be that the letter has not been entertained, but we noted that it raises the same matters that were raised during the public participation process, which we considered. And we appreciate that the letter is a reaction to a subcommittee meeting that set, and that's how it clarifies itself. We have not reopened a public participation for this process, but we had to listen. And I think we have done justice to that. The report, just to remind yourselves, has been adopted. Of course, this omission that Honorable Mlala in the decision to select the three to be on the pool that you'd consider on an eventuality on the names that we are submitting, as others may consider, may have considered other appointments elsewhere. And I think it has really nothing to do with the board as it functions at a particular time, and the vacancy would occur. It will be treated as such when that occurs. So with that, honorable members, that concludes the item as it relates to the SABC board appointment. We will accordingly ensure that the report is sent to the House as a report of this committee. With that having been said, we will then move to the next item on the agenda. The next item on the agenda, as I indicated, emanates from the portfolio committee that dealt with the clause by clause, and there were amendments as suggested also by the public participation process, and the state law advisor needed to work on those in creating the A-list. They would indeed take us through that as a way of moving forward with that item. State law advisor, or is it Parliament Legal that will do that?
Thank you, Chairperson. It's Thilushna Gangan, the Parliamentary Legal Advisor. Chairperson, members, good afternoon. As members would know, at the last deliberations, we had gone through the submissions, the written submissions that had come in, and the department had responded there too. There's just two things that I wanted to point out to the committee. So in the public submissions, there was a submission made that the department had agreed to, but we had omitted to raise it in the deliberations. But having gone through this particular proposal, I'm of the view that this proposal that was agreed to, that was not discussed in our deliberations, is rather problematic. And so I would like to just flight, if possible, Hajira, if you could please just flight the document that I had sent you. Okay, so Hajira, if you can just go to, go down on the document further. Okay, so, all right, so these are clauses that you see here, Chairperson, literally are non-consequential changes. They are literally commas and semicolons and the like that we have picked up in the current, in the amendment bill. Now, we thought that it's best to correct it at this stage. It makes no difference to the context or the text or to the content of the bill, but we've added these things into our A list. And I just thought it was prudent to just share this with the committee. So all of this is included in our A list. And Chairperson, you will see that it literally is insert a quotation mark, underline the word, delete the semicolon, and the like. So I will get to this when we look at the A list that was circulated to the members. And then the clause that I did want to talk about that was...
Sorry, Chair, the screen is gone. Can it come back? Sorry.
May I proceed?
Please proceed.
Okay, and then getting back to the one comment that was proposed and that the department had agreed to, but that we had not raised in the deliberations, it basically said that there was a suggestion to rephrase the section 91I to say lend money in accordance with lending policy made by the minister with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance, read with applicable causes of the National Credit Act, the code of banking practice, and the conduct of financial institutions. Now, Chairperson, this clause we felt was quite broad and problematic. It refers to the code of banking practice. It's a voluntary code. It's developed by a non-governmental institution. It really is so broad and covers so much that to add a clause like this would just be opening this Pandora's box. Secondly, the other issue, the conduct of financial institutions, COFI, it's a bill. It's not yet included in legislation. And we can only include acts that are already on our statute book, which have been assented to already. So we've as a team thought that this clause should not be included, the proposal. And because we didn't discuss it at the deliberations, we felt that we want to just mention it to the committee for the purposes of transparency. But our advice is that this clause is problematic and we would not want to include it on the A list. Thank you, Chairperson. Those are the only two things that I wanted to alert the committee to before we proceed with the A list that was circulated to members this afternoon. Can I ask that the A list be flighted? Okay, so clause one, on page 2, after line 5, to insert the following definition. Chairperson, we noticed in this act that there was no definition of the term banking services, even though the term is used in the Act. And so we've inserted a definition for banking services to say banking services means the service rendered in the course of the business of a bank as contemplated in the Banks Act. On page 2, in line 23, at the end of paragraph D, we've removed the word and. It's not supposed to be there. On page 2, after line 23, we've inserted a definition that was not in the bill, and we've included it because it is referred to in the bill, so it needs to be defined. And we've included it, so we've said by the insertion after the definition of family member of the following definition, financial services has the meaning ascribed to it in section 3 of the Financial Sector Regulation Act 2017, Act 9 of 2017. And then following on that, on page 3, in line 9, after the word financial, we've removed the word and we've inserted services. So it reads financial services. On page 3, in line 14, to omit paragraph D and to substitute it with the following paragraph D. By the substitution for the paragraph F of the following paragraph. Chairperson, you will recall that there was a proposal that we include the words responsible. And so we've inserted it to say ensuring responsible lending to rural and lower income markets. On page 3 in line 17, after financial to insert the word services, so as to say financial services. Clause 3, Chairperson, on page 3 from line 36, we omit the existing paragraph D and we've substituted with the paragraph on the screen. And what we've added is we've added the last words there to say, on the second last line, and the Financial Sector Regulation Act 2017, Act number 9 of 2017. So that's what we've added in the existing clause 3. Clause 5, on page 4, from line 29, we omit paragraph B and we substitute it with the following paragraph. By the addition after subsection 2, of the following sections. The members of the board of the company and of the bank controlling company are appointed or reappointed by the minister in the manner contemplated in section 14 and in accordance with the requirements of the Banks Act. 4, the board of the bank controlling company is made up of 10 non-executive members, 50% of which are appointed by the minister from amongst the board of the company. 5, the minister must determine who the 50% board members contemplated in subsection 4 are. And chapter 4 of the Act applies mutus mutandis to the board of the bank of the controlling company. So, Chairperson, that clause just speaks to the 50% that was raised in the submissions that was agreed to the department and agreed to by the committee. These are the A-list amendments to the bill, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
I then invite members to comment or make inputs as per deliberations of the committee.
Yeah, Chair.
Let me identify the hands. Was it somebody speaking?
I'm in a bad yes, space. Chair. Yes, okay. Chair.
But you, Honorable Mlala.
Yeah, thanks, yeah. Chair. I think the amendments are fine in terms of our last discussion. I think I'm quite comfortable. Maybe just one issue that I want our legal guru to explain to because we are not all lawyers. The clause that they removed, I think it's good that they removed, but just make us understand what it means to a literal man, so that it's not just a legal jargon. And then we. I'm not saying we must return it. You have agreed that is problematic, and we take your advice. But just make us understand. Simplify it for us so that we understand what are the implications of that clause, and where is it problematic, so that we can all be on board. However, Chair, I think I agree fully with the amendments. I think this is what we're discussing, and so for me, we must move and adopt those amendments. Except that before we agree, let's get that explanation, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Mlala. I'm sure after the explanation, you would want to come back, but let me start by the hand of Honorable Kola Barnard.
Thank you, Chairperson. I gather from the conversation that after I left yesterday, you went ahead and did the clause by clause. Thus, we've got this document. So a couple of inputs from me, and I will need your legal expert to perhaps answer a number of these queries. Clause 2 provides for the transfer of ownership, but to my eye, it frankly pays lip service to the banking requirements, because the South African Post Office is crippled, there's this move, and yet the Post Bank also got a disclaimer from the AG. And the question then is, who's going to fund this? We have no indication. The state doesn't seem to have any money. Certainly the SAPO doesn't. So the answer to the question I've been asking all along is what? Who is going to pay for this? It seems to be it's a project with no substance. And then to clause 3, in that we've established that neither the SAPO nor the government have funds or guarantees in place to ensure a viable bank. I fear this is going to be disastrous to the fiscus. To expect us as a committee to pass a bill with no proposed budget, going with a caveat the bank already exists, so they won't need anything, yet in the same breath saying it's brand new, it will offer a vastly larger range in banking terms without a proper costing by this committee, for this committee, is really, to my eye, committing a cardinal sin in terms of legislation. Down to clause 5, the proposed automatic right of acceptance could, and I'm sure will, lead to manipulation or collusion, because appointments can then be made through the back door. Of course, as I've said ad infinitum, any decision involving finances of the fiscus should really have the express consent from the Minister of Finance. I am relieved to see that decisions have to be run in concurrence with him, but they should be his decisions. In an earlier meeting, it was said as an aside that once the bank is legislated and comes into being, the legislation could then be changed to hand it over to the Finance Committee where it belongs. But we know how long legislation takes. I do not believe this will ever be done, and we will end up as a committee doing oversight over an entity, and this is a committee with zero financial expertise. And finally, clause 6, when it comes to selecting members of the board, CEO, CFO, and dealing with matters that have an impact on the fiscus, a portfolio committee must do oversight and have affirmation, give affirmation to persons in those positions. And yet, with no oversight at all into those appointments, we're looking at the possibility of a Zondo too. Surely that's something we should be trying to protect ourselves and the country against. And in the event that an insufficient number of persons are selected to decide the vacancies, the ministers should never have unilateral powers to appoint. You know that, I know that, and certainly Justice Zondo knows that, where that led us previously. Now, the board should have the exclusive right to appoint the CEO in order to avoid the situation where the minister, a minister, has full control over the entity, which bizarrely sits under our committee and not under finance. And finally, where is the oversight over the remuneration packages? You know, the lax way this is laid out is a financial catastrophe waiting to happen. My questions about officers, staff, training, detailing, costing, all have remained unanswered all the way through the process and still remain unanswered. With one breath, it said, removing it completely from the SAPO will create a new entity entirely. In the next breath, we're told, oh, it exists already, no changes will be made. Yet the difference between the post bank as it is now and a full bank are massive and very expensive. And this committee is being instructed to go into this blind, sign off on it blind. It's not the job we're paid to do. We have nothing in writing detailing the impact it will have on the post office, apart from an implied decline in the net asset value. Again, no details. That is a summary of what of the problems I have with this proposal. Thank you.
Any other member? Before I ask that a response to Honorable Mlala is given and that he makes the input once that clarity is given. Honorable Mlala, would you want to get the response first so that when you make your input, you've also...
Yeah, you're correct, Chair.
Please. Can we get a legal just...
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, perhaps I've not been clear enough, and I may not have explained it properly. So clause 4 exists in the bill as it is. There was nothing removed. This was a proposal that had come from a submission to which the department had agreed to in a presentation, but it was never agreed to by or discussed by the committee. And the proposal, so it was never in the bill, so nothing's been removed. I just want to be clear about that. The clause is as it stands in the bill. The proposal is to reword and rephrase the section. And it wants to include things like code of banking practice and code of financial institutions. Now, as I've explained, the code of banking practice, that is a voluntary code. It is not legislation. It is wide, it is broad. There are a plethora of banking codes. And so to put something like this in would be quite difficult and silly, if I may say so, because there are so many codes. So, you know, which codes are we talking about? It is a disaster in my view to add it. And then the reference to the second part, like I said, it is not the conduct of financial institution is a bill. It's not yet legislation. To include it in legislation here is problematic. And so I don't think that the people that proposed the redrafting of the clause fully thought about the consequences and the ramifications of having such a broad clause inserted. So this clause was never removed. And we're saying that we don't agree with the proposal. It's as simple as that, for the reasons that I've just explained. I hope that I've managed to clarify that a little better. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, I'm clear, Chairperson.
Can I proceed?
Yeah. Chair, I think I don't want to say Honorable Barnard. Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, it's like I was not hearing you.
You are not hearing me.
Yes, now I can hear you.
Yes, I'm saying that all the issues that the Honorable caller Bernard raised, she has raised them, she's correct. But in all instances, those issues were clarified. Were first clarified in our own meeting. We went to meet with the finance committee, she raised the same issues. Mr. Shilembe continuously clarified, particularly this issue that she's raised now. So I don't know whether Honorable Kola Barnett is deliberately delaying us, because I think all the issues that she's raising, where are they going to get money, fiscals, it was explained. You know, we were all present. So please, man, Honorable Barnett, with due respect, I think if there's anything that you're not happy with, that you have raised and you feel that you're not responded to, I think it's only fair that we allow the process to move. And if you still not happy, you can still raise those issues in the House during the final process. Or you can even write to the president when he's finalizing the bill, making it an act. But it's like we are moving merry-go-round. We are raising same issues in all the meetings. So I'm appealing that let's not raise the new issues. Let's deal with the issues that are presented. I think this amendment have been done in our presence. The only thing that was not done was, for instance, the issue of including financial services. This is just grammar. It's just wording, definitions, abbreviations. So really, Chair, now I think we've exhausted this bill. And from where I'm sitting, I think we need to move towards the adoption. I'm not saying we must ignore Honorable Kola Barnett, but I think all the issues that she has raised have been raised before, have been responded to. I don't know if we need to respond again on behalf of Shilembe, because Shilembe has been presenting all these issues that she's raising. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mlala. I take it that because we are at a stage where we receive amendments as they were dealt with when we were looking at the clause by clause, we're also advised on why the other discussion that the department may have had, which was not discussed in the committee meeting, is not agreed to. And I get a sense that we understand it now, having been clarified, that we have to rely on existing for that reason. And surely, as we speak, if responsible lending is anything to go by, it should help us strengthen that aspect of the worries that may be there. Of course, the points raised by Honorable Kola Barnett, would note them, as Honorable Mlala has indicated, that she has continuously raised those and has been clear responses on those. And those are matters that could still be pursued as some of them, like we already said, are operational matters that would have to get reports on. Other matters, even in the Finance Committee, in the meeting with the Standing Committee on Finance, got clarified. The matter is before us because it has been a seat to this committee that has been playing oversight over the Post Bank. And therefore, I want us to move forward on the basis that the committee confirms the amendments as they were raised. Society structures, and we considered those. The department also agreed to those and have been tested legally whether they have a legal standing in the way they are captured. So let's agree that's the case, and maybe what we may need to get would be the next step from the side of legal, if there's any matter pending, as we agree to these amendments. Of course, noting that there were those concerns raised by Honorable Colabanet. So let's first get from the legal what then happens thereafter.
Chairperson, as I understand it, if the committee agrees and adopts the A list then and a committee report is adopted regarding this procedure, it then goes to it's a procedural issue. It will then go to a place called CREDA, who would do the typesetting and who would provide the committee with a B version, a B bill, for the committee to then go through and for us to then go through. Because often what happens is whatever we send to them, they put it in a particular format. It's quite complex. And sometimes there are issues that we pick up that they've not done correctly. But once that bill comes back to the committee and to us, we'll go through it with a fine-tooth comb. And then if the committee is happy, the B version would be adopted. But it is a procedural question. The content advisor and the committee secretary, as I understand it, are aware of the process. We've discussed it. And that's the way forward, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. I note Honorable Colabana, Honorable Mlala.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I know it's pitch dark here. To try and look not so dreadful. To just, if you could please note our absolute objection to proceeding with this bill. I'd like it on record, please. I just foresee this as a train coming down the track right at us. So I want my objection in writing. Thank you.
Objection noted. Honorable Mlala, do you still want to speak, or it was a legacy hand?
No, Chair, it was a legacy hand. I'm fine.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Mlala. So objection noted, and we are then agreed to get to the next step as legally advised, because we have to ensure that everything we do is within the law. But the committee has agreed, and we've noted that objection. That then concludes the discussion for today on this item, and this would have been the last item for our discussion, and the meeting is thank you.